This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Coronavirus has taken hold of the Prem. Zaha and Salah were amongst the men self-isolating, and we still don't know when they will be back scoring points again. Meanwhile, Leicester were destroyed on Merseyside. Is Big at the back back? Is there a turning of the tide? More clean sheets seem to be happening. Leeds will keep on attacking. Sheffield United will keep battling, and we will keep prattling on and on, obsessing about our overall rank, team value, price drops, and money in the bank. Welcome to the 62nd episode of Triple Captain.
Rattling and prattling. It's what we do a lot of on this
rattling,
podcast.
Rattling, prattling, attacking.
It's really good. Oh, but oh my God. Wilfred Zaha, when I seen literally just as they announced the team that he was self-isolating, oh, my stomach dropped. I was so gutted.
Yeah, I was gutted for you, mate. I mean, even though it was a good thing for my team that he wasn't playing, I still felt for owners of Zaha, because it's just, what can you do about that? I mean, it's just, it's unprecedented, isn't it, in the game? And it's just, it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
And we're going to discuss what FPL should be doing about this coronavirus stuff.
Yeah. Later, I mean, on. it's just the 2020-2021 season in a nutshell right there, isn't it? That sort of thing would happen. But yeah, luckily I got away with it because I had a good substitute to come off the bench, but we'll get into that in a bit. Should we tell people who we are?
Yes, just to remind everybody, we are Triple Captain. Welcome to our regular listeners and welcome to our new listeners as well. Our listeners are going up, so we hope that that continues. We're at Triple Captain 3 on social media. I am Luke Jurdy. I'm at Luke Jurdy on socials, and I am an actor. But I'm FPL obsessed. I'm Championship Manager obsessed. I'm football obsessed. I'm obsessed. and I'm joined, as always, of course, by our lovely producer, Background Ben, and my co-host, Rich Wolfenden. How you doing, Rich?
Yes, all good, mate. Yes, I'm TalkSport commentator. I did Southampton v Wolves, or Wolves v Southampton, I should say, on Monday night. So it was a very interesting game for Talk Sport. And doing that off the back of an Everton win as well was very, very nice, especially considering I had Calvert-Lewin in my team this week. So that was very, very nice. Yeah, I had a bloody great week, I'm not going to lie.
Come on!
At long last, it's been overdue. I've been getting steadily just above the averages, which has seen me creeping up like 50,000 places or so every game week, and it's been so frustrating not to see those big leaps, but I finally got a big leap of about 400,000 places or something this game week. So that was very, very welcome indeed. Big 84. It's my highest of the season so far. Only three players let me down. Martinez, Grealish and Kilman. Either getting one or two. But then just across the board, they just delivered. Robertson, star next to his name. He got a clean sheet. He got an assist. I think he got three bonus
and
as well.
Let's remind ourselves what you were saying last week about Robertson, Rich. Can we just remind ourselves?
Yeah, I was going to bench Robertson only to bring in Charlie Taylor because I thought Burnley were going to get their first win of the season.
Taylor got some points as well, to be fair.
He did. So, and he only came in because of Zaha not getting a place in the squad. So I was very lucky with Taylor coming in. That's why you put him as your first substitute, just in case that sort of thing happens. Balbuena getting six for West Ham. He continues to deliver, which is very surprising, I've got to be honest. He was just kind of in to make up the numbers. So happy he got a big six. Fernandez got me an 11. Son, who I put the captain's armband on, got his goal. Got me a nice big 20 points for that. Adams got an assist and got bonus points as well. So he got me 7. Kane got an assist. And Calvert-Lewin got me 13 points as well. So yeah, a nice big round. 84, 29 points ahead of the average. So absolutely flipping buzzing about that. And up to 325k. So yeah, a massive old leap and on the right track. I think that's four green arrows on the bounce now. So happy with that.
Yeah, brilliant, Rich. That's much better, isn't it? 325k by game week 10. Really good position to be in. And now you can make an assault on that top 250, top 100k.
Nice one. Over a quarter of the way through the season now. So it feels like, you know, you need to start to try and find your place in the overall rankings, and I feel like this is a good point.
And where were you a few weeks ago? You were like down in the million, weren't you, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I was at 1.3 mil, I think I was, something like that. I was a long way out of it, so I've climbed about a million places over the past month or two. So pretty pleased with myself. Sorry, I've just accidentally opened up my DJing software. One second, unless you want to hear the Fratelli's Chelsea Dagger on the podcast.
That's my uni mate said that was my theme song, because they just see me walking through the uni with a pint in each hand.
There we go, it's gone. Anyway, so yeah, that was my game week. A nice big 84. What about you, Luke?
So I drum roll please, I got wild card success. Only just. There were a few hairy moments throughout where I thought, oh no, I'm going to be on for a red arrow. And then by the end of the game week, I've got a small green arrow. So I'm pretty pleased with that. But looking at my old team, I had Alexander Arnold in there, who was obviously injured. I had Salah, who wasn't going to play. I had Wilson, who wasn't going to play. I had Saka, who was benched. There were a lot of players in there that if I had just kept my team or done a minus four or whatever, I'd have had a terrible game week. So it was definitely the right time to play it. I'll go through my team, because I didn't actually reveal the wild. I did on Twitter, but I didn't actually reveal my full wildcard team on the pod. So I went with Martinez in goal in the end, who obviously only got a one-pointer this week. Villa, surprisingly poor, a little bit worried about their consistency and a little bit worried now Barkley's injured, but we'll talk about that. Soufal I put in from West Ham, who got six. He was close to bonus, and he looked great, I thought. He passed the eye test. Yeah, he got in the box. He had a shot, which could have been a goal. He was marauding forward, so I'm pretty pleased with him. I brought him in. I took out Walker Peters in the end, who still looks good, but obviously Southampton didn't keep their clean sheet, and I think West Ham have got the fixtures. So hopefully that's a good move.
I think Soufal's just a little bit more adventurous than Walker Peters, and more keen to get a ball into the box, I think.
Yeah.
But there's not much between them.
No, I watched both West Ham's game and Southampton's game, and I thought exactly the same there. I kept Andy Robertson, and finally Andy Robertson. finally he rewards owners. He rewards patient owners with a 12-pointer, and that's all it takes to reverse everybody's thinking, doesn't it, on a player like Robertson. Everyone was writing him off, everyone taking him out, Liverpool aren't going to keep clean sheets, blah, blah, blah. And there he is, 12 points. maybe slightly fortunate, to be honest, that Liverpool kept a clean sheet. But I think they've been unfortunate in previous game weeks not to. So yeah. He's still in my team, thankfully. And Ben Chilwell I brought in, who got a nice 7-pointer and was close to a goal, wasn't he? It was an own goal in the end, but Chilwell was right on the end of it.
Yeah,
and,
he was.
He had a chance yesterday in the Champions League as well for Chelsea. Like, he looks great. Really glad I've got Chilwell in my team. And so they were my starting three. I've gone to a 3-4-3 now. I was on 4-4-2. I've gone to a 3-4-3. But I've still got James Justin, who I benched this week. But he'll rotate nicely with Soufal. And I put in Nico Williams as well, because he was 3.9 million. And I think he stands a chance of getting a few minutes. He's my third sub.
He came on, didn't he, I think, at the weekend for Liverpool.
So yeah, he came on, got a point. Got minutes. I mean, the only problem with that, which I've seen, I was looking at maybe bringing in Salah and Jota. But obviously, I can't do that now because I've got Robertson as well. So I might live to regret that, but we'll see. I also put midfielder pretty terrible. James Rodriguez didn't deliver, but you said he had a good game, Rich. I haven't seen. I only watched bits of the Everton game.
Yeah, he had a good game. He was what he was doing in the first game. He seemed like he was going to be that player who makes the assist for the assist. And I think he was involved in at least two of the goals. So he looks good. He had a couple of shots that were blocked, but we're playing Leeds next weekend. So, you know, it could be the game where he properly shines. Because in that game, if you're going to beat Leeds, you need to show that you have the quality over them. And hopefully James shows that.
Good. Yeah, I mean, the reason I brought him in was for this run of three fixtures, and then I might think about taking him out. So hopefully he gives me a few returns in those games. Grealish, of course, I brought in. I mean, we all talked him up massively, didn't we? I think everyone in the community was in agreement, and he just had a bit of a bad game. So should we be worried about Grealish, Ben?
So as soon as Barkley came off, Grealish moved. And you know what? I need to eat my words, because I've been saying for months and months, why isn't Dean Smith playing Grealish up the middle? You should be putting him in the middle of the pitch. Actually, he moved him to the middle of the pitch after 2 minutes because Barkley came off.
Right.
And it's obvious that he likes coming in from the left-hand side.
Yeah.
And the whole shape of the team changed when Barkley came off. Not only that, but I think, you know, Lamptey had such a good game that I think that surprised Villa down that right-hand side.
I couldn't believe that. Matty Target had no idea what he was coming up against.
No. So there was a couple of things that went wrong for Villa. I think Barkley makes a huge difference to how Grealish plays. And I think that was obvious. You know, they brought on
Traore,
yeah, and he just didn't have the same
looks okay, but not the same as a Barkley or a Grealish. I think as well, like, there was times where Grealish was on the right side as well, and I'm like, you don't want Grealish just swinging balls into the box. You want him cutting in inside onto his right foot.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like it when a manager knows who his starting 11 is and puts the same team out every week. I think there's a lot of benefits to that. The problem is you take one person out of that, and, you know, Barkley, it was 2 minutes that he came off. Obviously, I started Barkley this week, of course, and left bloody Jota on the bench.
Yeah, such bad luck, honestly.
I hate FPL at the moment. The amount of accounts that I've unfollowed this week because people are like, oh, look how great my game week's been.
Then you come into this and you're like, God, I had a brilliant game week, guys. 84.
Okay. You're getting muted. Okay. No, but I think that's the problem. It's if Barkley comes back at the moment, he did walk off. It looks like a hamstring, but he's a 75% chance of playing at the moment. Mm. I think Grealish's game depends on Barkley more than anyone realised.
Yeah, I mean, and I suppose that showed with England, didn't it? He plays better when he's got better players around him.
I mean, like any player does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But there's a golfing quality between Dean Smith's starting 11 and his bench options.
Right, okay. Okay, so one to keep an eye on there, which I wasn't expecting. But hey, these things happen. And I took Salah out for De Bruyne. I would have caused, you know how much I love Mo Salah, I would have kept him in if things were more clear. And they just weren't for me. Klopp was a bit vague on it. It'll be interesting to see if Salah's involved tonight, if he's involved tonight against Atalanta. But I don't get this. And maybe we'll cover this in our coronavirus chat. But there's a weird kind of thing of where people are saying Salah might be back for Atalanta. Whereas the UK rules are, if you test positive, when you arrive back in the UK, you have to isolate for 10 days. So I don't get how Salah will be back for Atalanta or back for Brighton, but people seem to think that he might be. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on the rules, but anyway, we'll cover that. But I've got De Bruyne in, who got two, and City, God, they were awful. They're worrying, very worrying in terms of an FPL sense, but they've got good fixtures now, so surely their quality will shine through. Pep's just signed a new two-year deal, hasn't he? So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I hope they continue to suffer miserably as a United fan, because they've ruined a lot of football. So
not bitter in the slightest.
Yeah. Tongue in cheek. I'm only jealous. And Bruno Fernandes, of course, I kept him. He got 22 points as my captain. Very glad I did that. And for anybody that says that's lucky, they are wrong. Bruno Fernandes created six chances. He laid it on a plate for Martial. He had plenty of chances himself. He ran the game. So the penalty, yes, if you're taking it as an isolated incident, the penalty was lucky.
Wait, which one? The one which he gave away or the one which he missed and then got to retake?
The one that he gave away wouldn't have affected his returns. The one that, if we're talking in FPL terms, the one that he gave away wouldn't have affected. Let's ignore the result. United were terrible, and we'll talk about United. But in terms of FPL, he was not lucky this game week.
I looked at the app, and the guy above me captained him in one of our mini leagues, and he was on a -2, and I was like, ha! Bruno, -2. Next time I looked, he's on 22 or something.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, right, the penalty, you can argue that the penalty shouldn't have been given. You can't argue that it shouldn't have been retaken. They are the rules now. They're terrible. They're rubbish rules. I hate them. And Sam Johnston deserved that penalty save. You know, as much as I really didn't like his tweet about saying strikers are allowed to hop, jump and skip, apparently. Bruno Fernandes is a midfielder, mate. Stop being so bitter. But, you know, in terms of the stats and how Bruno Fernandes played and how he's played week in, week out, he's not lucky. He's super. Yeah. He scored 21 goals in 35 games. Yes, a lot of those are penalties, but a hell of a lot of those, you know, returns aren't either. He's so good. No,
he's carrying Manchester United at the moment. He's the individual who's keeping Manchester United wherever they are in the league. He's, you know, they'd be much further down without him for sure.
Yeah, They would. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so, and then strikers, I've got Shea Adams, in part thanks to Rich, actually. Rich has been talking him up and had him in his team, and that gave me the confidence to put Adams in. And I was really pleased with his performance against Wolves. He looks great. Harry Kane I've kept as well, who obviously got his assist. And Bamford, who I've put in, who I think was terribly unlucky against Arsenal. He had 5 shots. On another day, he would have scored 1 or 2 goals. And his attacking stats are amongst the best in the league for strikers. For 6 million, I'm really glad I own Bamford, despite the fact we thought he was terrible, didn't we, at the start of the season?
I'm convinced he still is as well. He just seems to deliver. It's so strange. Yeah, I'm convinced he's this season's Pookie, I'm telling you.
And then bench wise, I've got Justin. I went for Bissouma as my 4.5 million midfielder, and as discussed, Nico Williams. And I've still got Nieland sat there at 4 million. Rich hates this.
So annoying. He doesn't even have a team at the moment. He's not a professional footballer right now.
The thing is, having
I'm going to look him up one sec.
Having a sub keeper like that, you know they're not going to drop in price, so your team value is not going to drop. So he's the perfect sub keeper.
He still doesn't play for anyone. He's still signed by no one. He's sat there at home watching Premier League football. No, he's got no team at all.
He's sat at home with me watching it. So I finished on 66. So I got a small green arrow, despite not owning Calvert-Lewin. I got a small green arrow up to 162,000 overall.
Good going now.
So I'm ready. I'm ready for that assault on the top 100K. Hopefully next week if I have a big week. Ben, talk us through it, mate, because I think you need a bit of a pep talk here with your team.
Yeah.
All I want for Christmas is a green arrow. I can't remember what they look like. I need to apologise, first of all, because I've packed in smoking this week. So it's good for my health, bad for my mood. So if I attack you at any point during this podcast, it isn't personal. I'm just really, really grumpy. Right.
It's the nicotine withdrawal.
Yeah, and FBL's not helping. So, I mean, you know what? My slide to insignificance continues, but looking at, you know, it is the season to be jolly. It is the season to be jolly, careful. So looking on the bright side, I'm still in the top 50%. Do you know what I mean? I'm still in the top half of all players in FBL. Yeah, it's dreadful, really bad. 49 points this week. 6 points below the average. Would have been 3 points above the average if I'd put Jota on the pitch, but instead I started Ross Barkley. I mean, I look around. There are some good things that have happened in my team. I kept Kane and I kept Son, and I'm going to continue to keep them. I think, yes, okay, they've got Chelsea next week, which is going to be tougher than Man City, but I think they've got a few nice fixtures. I can see them absolutely battering Arsenal, for example, so I want to keep those guys in. I've got Calvert-Lewin, but everyone's got Calvert-Lewin. I didn't captain him, but, you know, nice to see 13 points. Mm-hmm. Bought Jamie Vardy in this week. So actually, my front three now, I've got Kane, Vardy and Calvert-Lewin, which is a great little front three.
So good on
paper. But Jamie Vardy did not deliver against Liverpool. The stats for Vardy is that he always scores against Liverpool. And I thought, you know, with this team who, you know, so many injuries, he's going to get him behind him all the time. Vardy's going to get a hat-trick. So I put the captain's armband on him and he got 4 points. I mean, you know, one of the good things, Ezri Konsa does have an eye for goal.
He does have an eye for goal.
I've heard that somewhere before.
When I seen him knock that in, I was like, I need to immediately post this in our WhatsApp group. So I couldn't believe it. I was made up for you.
But yeah, Villa, I mean, you know, I got Martinez as well, 1 point. And obviously Barkley came off after a minute. Like Ross Barkley, the reason I've got him in my team is because he occasionally has an absolute stormer. He's cheap. And he can, like, he got, what did he get? 11 points against Leicester, for example. 7 points the week before against Liverpool.
His returns aren't bad, Ben. You know when I've gone over players, like, you know, past seasons to get that points per 90 metric. He comes out at about just under 5 points per 90 minutes, which is really, really good for a midfielder of his price. So I completely see why you've got him in, particularly with his form in the past. But he's just a bit injury prone now, isn't he, unfortunately?
I know. And they play, you know, the other reason is because they play him so centrally for Villa. You know, he's always putting in attempts. And I just, you know, not everyone pays off, but he does love a shot. Yeah. So yeah, anyway, you know, I've got Keane and Kilman and Martinez, and defence let me down. Rashford as well, you know, 3 points from Rashford. Rashford's got to come good soon, isn't he? Or is it only about Bruno?
We're going to talk United, aren't we? We're going to talk United. So,
but Rashford's got to come good for me at some point. But yeah, I think the stupid thing for me this week was leaving bloody Jota on the bench. I brought him in and left him on the bench. And when he scored, I was happy for Liverpool because, you know, obviously livid Liverpool. Alfie, my girlfriend's son, huge red, watching the game together. But also a bit like, oh, you idiot.
Yeah, so Ben, I think we need a bit of tough talking here, right? The reason that your rank is so low is because you keep trying to go against the grain all the time. You keep making these decisions which are different to everybody else in the game. Not everybody, but most. You can't bench. You can't bring Jota in and then bench him.
Especially when he's in great form.
That's a terrible decision. Liverpool are unbeaten in 64 matches at Anfield. 64 matches they're unbeaten at Anfield. 64 matches, right? And there's people captaining Jamie Vardy. No. Don't captain a player who is playing away at Anfield. It's too much of a risk. When you've got Bruno Fernandes playing West Brom, you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin playing Fulham, you had Son playing City, much more likely.
I mean, I can see the thinking behind bringing Vardy in for that game week, because on paper, in his history books, you know, show that he loves a goal against Liverpool. But I would have definitely played your Liverpool assets as well.
Yes.
Just because of that record that they have at Anfield. And especially because Jota's in great form. And you knew he was going to start because Salah was going to be out. But you just have to knock this game week on the head.
Yeah, we can maybe let the Vardy captaincy slide. Like, I understand the thinking behind it, but too much of a risk for me. You haven't got any premium defenders in your team. You haven't got any premium midfielders in your team. You've put all your money up front. It's worrying.
You know, when I said that I quit smoking, I'm feeling a bit ratty. Shall we move on to our first talking point?
Let's move on.
I'm just trying to help.
I know what you mean. I know what mistakes I made. And I know that I'm going against the grain.
Yeah, don't do that.
You've got to do that. If you're where I am, you've got to take a few gambles.
You haven't.
How else am I going to make up these bloody points if I don't take few gambles?
Your rank will actually go up more when you're in that position. I saw somebody who got 63 points this game week who went from about a million up to about 600K. I got 66 points and I got a 30,000 rise. So when you're lower down, all you have to do is go with the grain and you're going to climb the ranks.
Well, you know,
it's counterintuitive to what you think. When you're that far down, you just got to put the players in that will score the most points. You don't have to keep going for differentials and different picks.
Yeah, look, language like that far down is not. It really hurts every time you say something like that.
But you can get it back. You just got to play a bit more sensible.
No, I saw someone tweet earlier, and one of the few FPL accounts I still follow on Twitter after the few game weeks that I've had, he said that he was, before Christmas, 1.5 million, and he ended up in the top 10K. So, literally, I don't want anything for Christmas. I don't want the PS5. I'm not bothered about anything apart from, please, Father Christmas, come down the chimney and just make me good at FPL for the second half of the season. Because it's honestly, I'm getting, aren't you on an FPL podcast, mate? What are you doing that bad? all the time. I'm just having a really bad, it's affecting my general happiness, FPL, at the moment.
We'll see if we can get Father Christmas on for a Christmas special.
Ben, I think there needs to be a bit of balance, right? Use this podcast, listen to mine and Rich's opinions, because we listen to each other's, and then also you can play these little risky moves and these gut decisions that you like to make. But there has to be a bit more of a balance, I think, in terms of the decisions you're making with your team. And we'll get you back up that table, no problem.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah,
you watch.
I'm so glad I got you guys.
Your team's not so bad at all, really. But we'll perhaps talk about that a little bit more. Same thing happened to me last season. I remember I was down in the millions and then got right back up to 30K by the end of the season. So it can absolutely happen. Rich is showing that it can happen already. Climbing up to 325.
Was it 2 weeks ago? I was saying we were having this exact conversation, and you just have to reiterate that you need to bring in the players who are ultimately going to score you the highest points week in, week out, not just throw all your money behind Theo Walcott or whatever, who I am thinking of bringing in this game week, by the way.
Not a bad shout. But yeah, there was that tweet, Rich, wasn't there, which I tagged you in, where I think it was James from Planet FPL who we had on the pod at the end of last season, and he said, "What do you think the combined ownership is of these five?" And I think it was Son, Kane,
Calvert-Lewin,
Bruno, and Grealish. Was it? Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah.
And it was those power five, and actually only 5% of players in the game own all five of those players.
Hmm. So if they bank, which they have done pretty much all season.
Yeah, you're gonna rise. It was such a good point. You know, Calvert-Lewin on his own, if he scores big, he might not improve your rank that much because lots of people own him. But Calvert-Lewin combined with Son, Grealish, Kane, Fernandez, you know, all those other players, that's going to boost your rank. You know, it's all about the points that you're getting each week. It doesn't matter what other players are doing. I haven't got Calvert-Lewin, I haven't got Son, and I still got a green arrow this week. It's all about just focus on your own team's points and who's going to score you the highest.
Should we do our... So what are our talking points? We're going to do coronavirus. Oh, I've got a name for it, by the way.
Oh, go on.
Isolate transfers.
I get it. Very, very late transfers, but with ISO before it.
Got
ISO,
it.
Nice. Late transfers.
Nice. Yes, I like it. Like that. Okay. So we're going to do... What about the other ones? Are the other names as clever?
I haven't got any more than us. That's my brain power gone.
No, okay, yeah, good. So we'll do isolate transfers, where we're going to talk about the impact of coronavirus and self-isolation on Premier League weekends. We're also going to talk a little bit about Son and Kane, talk a bit about United, and we're going to have another section which we're going to call the good, the bad, and the ugly. Is that correct? Have I got that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe not in that order, but that's what we're going to talk about.
Are we going to do what we're doing first? Good, bad, and ugly, did we say? Or did we say, like, we're United in that and in with that, aren't they? With the good, bad, and ugly. Yeah.
Let's start with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay, let's start with the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, shall we kick off with Liverpool? Liverpool did so well against Leicester. We've already touched on it. Should we have a plan to bring Salah back in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy to get Salah back in, but I'd have to get rid of either Son or Fernandez to do so. And I think, I might be wrong in saying this, but I think Salah performs better at Anfield than he does away from Anfield. So I might not, if he is available, bring him back in for this next game. I might give it another week just because of the form that Fernandez has been in. And I've got a feeling that Son could bang against Chelsea. Could be wrong, but yeah, Salah is probably going to replace Jota as well. So I think if you were to have Salah and Jota on your team, Ben, this would be the weekend to have Jota on your bench.
I'm not, you know what? I know Firmino did end up getting his goal, but surely Roberto Firmino's place, I know that he's, you know, been a solid member of that amazing Liverpool team that have won everything for a long time, and he's not just on the pitch to score goals, but surely Jota is breathing down Firmino's neck, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. No. I see him replacing either Mane or Salah rather than Firmino just because his position, I'd say.
I mean, he's scoring.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll replace any of them. Why would you change a formula that's won the league and won the Champions League? Jota's doing fantastically well, but he's the perfect impact sub. He's the perfect guy to come on and score a goal if they need it. You know, that's why they bought him. And Klopp loves Roberto Firmino. He absolutely loves him.
Yeah, he does. It's the stuff he does off the ball as well, which kind of goes unnoticed a little bit. I think with Jota, though, I think even if Salah is back from his self-isolation period for this next game week, I still think he'll probably not start. He probably won't be in the squad just because this weekend, Connor Cody, who's played the last 84 games in the Premier League on the bounce for Wolves, every game since they've been promoted, he finished his self-isolation, but because he hadn't trained for about 2 weeks, Nuno Espirito Santo just left him out the squad completely. So I could imagine that happening with Salah as well, especially considering the depth that Liverpool have got at the moment.
Yeah, that was the thing, wasn't it? I think Klopp actually said, I mean, not that we can read too much into press conferences, but Klopp actually said once he gets a negative test, the process starts. Mm. He didn't say once he gets a negative test, he comes straight back in the team. And obviously he has tested negative. So it's going to be interesting. If he doesn't start tonight, then we know that, you know, there's a risk for the weekend. If he does start tonight, or if he's involved tonight, we know that he's probably going to be back for Brighton. But I'm the same, Rich. I think I'm going to wait one more week. I've only got the one free transfer this week, of course, because I've just played wild card. So I think I'll wait. And actually, I wouldn't be able to get him in without a minus four. I think I'd be 0.1 million off, which is such a shame, considering I bought him in for 12, and then I sold him for 12.1. Unfortunately, I missed the one of the drops on him because I wanted to keep him if it was possible. I was waiting for news.
Just unlucky.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things. But I will be looking to bring him back in. I'm not sure who for, though. And I think a lot of people are having that dilemma now, aren't they? Obviously, Bruno's doing really well. Man City, you've got great fixtures. So De Bruyne and Sterling are on everybody's radar. And, of course, there's Son as well. And they're the kind of three that you'd have to... You're probably going to have to shift one of them out, aren't you? Unless you say you get rid of Kane in order to finance Salah elsewhere in the team. Like I could get rid of Kane and then move James Rodriguez up to Salah, perhaps. But then it's getting rid of Kane, isn't it? And then not having Kane or Son. It's a really tricky one. So I'm going to have to assess that next week after this game week and see what happens. Maybe you go without Salah for a few weeks. I don't know. But it really goes against my whole philosophy if I do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Should we talk about the ugly on this occasion, or do you want to talk about the good, Ben?
Yeah, no, the ugly is good. I mean, what's your? Because my definition of the ugly is some of the red cards. What are you thinking about with ugly? Because I was thinking ugly challenges.
I was just thinking Sheffield United in general.
Okay, yeah, cool. Let's go with that.
They just, I don't know what it is about Sheffield United. It feels like everything that made them a good team last season has just completely gone. I remember last season we were talking about having triple Sheffield United defence, and like you wouldn't even, you know, blink at that. Like it was such like a normal thing last season, because you'd have Baldock, you'd have Egan, we'd have Lord Lundstrom as well. You could have Henderson in goal. There were so many options. But this year, I wouldn't go anywhere near Sheffield United's defence. I just do not understand what has happened to them. And in buying Brewster, I don't know why they spent that much money on a player who's hardly even proven in English football, never mind the Premier League. He got a dozen or so goals in the Championship last season, but that's not a lot in a 46-game season or whatever it is really in the Championship. And making the step up to the Premier League is so, so significant, especially when you're a young player like that. And again, they just looked absolutely flipping hopeless.
Yeah, avoid them at all costs. I mean, to be fair to Sheffield United, they're not actually conceding lots of goals, are they? But they're just losing.
No.
They're just losing every game, and they're not scoring. They've completely lost that scoring touch, haven't they? And I think, you know, we were all quite excited about them bringing Brewster in, but he's obviously not quite ready for Premier League action, and he needs a bit more time. And really, if you're Chris Wilder, you've got to be thinking, why didn't I go for someone else? Like, you know, somebody that's on the bench for their team, that's missing first team football, you know, like Giroud or someone like that. Why not go for someone like that? Or
Danny Welbeck was on a free. He scored for Brighton at the weekend. Could have snapped him up.
Yeah, there were other options. And I think Brewster's one for the future, absolutely, but not for right now. So yeah, avoid Sheffield United.
The only player who I think does look all right for Sheffield United is Sander Berger. I think he looks okay, but he looks like he's being given the creative force when he's not a creative player.
I like Baldock. If they were keeping clean sheets, he gets forward loads, and he always seems to have shots on goal. But yeah, they're not worth it, are they? Because they haven't got the clean sheets. And I think, actually, I know a lot of people like Lamptey, and you could argue that maybe he was a bit unlucky for his red card. But
he was very unlucky.
He's a bit rash, isn't he, with his challenges?
Yeah,
he gets yellow cards, and Brighton don't really keep clean sheets. So you might look fantastic going forward and be on the edge of attacking returns every game. But if you don't get them, then it's not worth having him, is it? I think with a 4.5, you need that possibility of clean sheets, because they're not likely to get attacking returns. Having said that, Lamptey does look fantastic, but he hasn't got that end product just yet, has he?
While we're talking ugly, very ugly behaviour, because a red card that was deserved, what on earth was Pepe doing?
Oh, God, his career is goes from bad to worse, doesn't it? I mean,
what?
He's not a good player. He's
How
not.
How much did he cost again?
72 million, I think. I mean, you got to feel for Arsenal a bit, because everything pointed to him being a success. You know, yeah. FPL put him in at 9.5 million because everyone expected him to carry on his form. He was in incredible form for his old club. So I don't know what's gone wrong there. It's just a classic example, isn't it, of one of those players that's come to the Prem and just not been able to do it.
Yeah, it's just Arsenal in general, because the man who everybody wanted, the number one asset everyone was talking about in FPL at the start of the season.
This is mind-boggling, this. Yeah.
Is Aubameyang, what on earth? He's still owned by 12% of FPL players. What on earth's going on with these 12%? He has done absolutely well. Okay, he scored against Manchester United. I'll give him that. But for the man who is on, what, hundreds of thousands of pounds every week, easily Arsenal's best player, to have two goals and one assist just before match day 10 in the Premier League. He's played all but 4 minutes of Arsenal season. He has just not delivered at all for them.
No, it'd be good if any of our listeners are Arsenal fans, get in touch. It'd be good to have a chat about Arsenal and where you think the season's going, because I mean, they were so lucky to keep that clean sheet and get that draw against Leeds, weren't they? I mean, you can dress it up as you know, however you like, and say, oh, they battled and they deserved a 0-0, and they did battle, but my God, they were lucky to not concede, and that shouldn't be happening to an Arsenal team. They should be beating Leeds, shouldn't they? They should be winning, and even yeah. before Pepe went off, Leeds were dominating.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it might just be a desire thing, because obviously they've got talented footballers. Although, to be fair, when that lineup came through for Leeds and I saw that the likes of Willock and Saka were playing, I don't think those players are really of Arsenal standard. I mean, when you think of Arsenal, you think of like a side who are pushing for the Champions League, at least. Especially considering the stadium and the fan base and that sort of thing. But I don't know, maybe they do need a couple more signings.
Well, I think Saka's one of their best players at the moment. I mean, he was benched. And when he came on, he actually looked like their main threat. But I get your point. I mean, Willock, yeah, and Nketiah, all these players, they don't exactly inspire confidence, do they?
No, not at all.
I think Saka's great, but not yet for FPL.
He's not a Champions League player.
No, not yet, no.
No, it's still time, obviously, a young lad.
You know, people are talking about taking out Kane, taking out Son. Like, surely Tottenham are going to absolutely do them in the North London Derby in a couple of weeks, aren't they?
Well, you never know what happens in those games, do you? It's always
form
like
goes out the window.
So random, yeah. But yeah, you'd expect Tottenham to do them. Should we talk Spurs and that City game? I mean, that was an element of good, and I suppose City, you'd maybe say bad, possibly ugly, their performance.
Yeah.
I was so surprised at the lack of creativity, the lack of ingenuity. Attacking-wise, they just didn't look like scoring, did they, Man City?
No, it's so weird. And I think I said this last week, but Real Sociedad, a top of La Liga, David Silva, 34 years of age, playing week in, week out, most assists in Spain, well, in La Liga anyway. Just even though he didn't play every week for Manchester City, he obviously had something that raised everybody else's game.
Yeah.
And it's like when Kompany left last season or the season before, City just fell to pieces defensively. And they've seemed to have fell to pieces creatively this season because David Silva's gone.
Do you reckon they were like rubbed his head when they were like going out the changing room or something?
Maybe. With a good luck charm.
Come here, David. Yeah.
Yeah. And they brought in Bernardo as like the knockoff one. He hasn't done anything in ages for Manchester City, by the way.
No. De Bruyne looks like he's trying to do it all himself, doesn't he? And I actually think De Bruyne looks like he's trying too hard to force things. He's on the set pieces. He's having shots. He's doing all the right things, but I just think he's trying too hard at the moment.
Yeah, but then you can't account for the Son goal, which they conceded after 5 minutes. 5 minutes into the game, and they just switch off, and it's a ball over the top, which how many times have we seen Son running behind and score that goal?
Yeah.
I mean, I was buzzing because
you predicted
it.
You predicted
it was the perfect game for him. It was the exact type of goal which I expected him to score, so I was pretty chuffed myself about that. But then Spurs just did what Mourinho sides do. They've got their goal, and they're just going to have to sit back for 85 minutes and take on the pressure, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and Kane returning again, didn't he? I mean, obviously, I know he only got four, but because of his yellow card, but returned again, Harry Kane, and Son returned again. But having said that, at the moment, Calvert-Lewin is looking like he's going to match Kane, and he's so top much scorer. Cheaper, isn't he? So you could maybe go for that combination. If you don't want Kane and Son, you could maybe go for that combination of Calvert-Lewin and Son. So yeah, weird from City, but they have got great fixtures coming up.
Yeah, they're tasty, the fixtures. I wanted to ask you about that, actually, because I am looking at bringing in Cancelo. Now, they obviously haven't got much creative force at the moment, Manchester City, like I said, without Silva being at his best, or the other Silva leaving. The next two fixtures, who's it they've got again? Burnley at home and Fulham at home. And then the week after they play Man United, they got West Brom at home. I mean, any other season, you'd think that is three clean sheets nailed on for Manchester City. Should I be bringing in Cancelo, do you reckon?
Lots of people have got him, haven't they? And I haven't. I didn't bother. Purely because I haven't seen enough to convince me to bring him in. I don't think that you can have him instead of Robertson or instead of Chilwell. Mm. Say if you're going for a defence and you've got at least one of Robertson and Chilwell, and then you put Cancelo in. But if you've got them both, I don't think you need to spend that extra money on Cancelo. No, I think he looks okay, but as of yet, he hasn't had those attacking returns that everybody seems so excited about. So until he starts getting them, I'm not too interested. It all depends on your team. In terms of my structure and my team, I don't want him, or I don't think I need him.
My defense right now, five options. I've got Robertson, who's not going to be moving. Then I've got Taylor of Burnley, Balbuena of West Ham, Kilman of Wolves, and Mitchell of Palace, who's probably not going to get a kick again for a while now. And I have 4 million in the bank. So
yeah, in that case, I probably would bring Cancelo in.
Yeah, just to reinforce that back line, like you say, two decent fixtures over the next couple of weeks. And Man City have got to hit form at some point.
Should we talk about United? So I think United-wise, we've seen over the last two games, I watched the game in the Champions League last night, we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. We've seen all three from United. Awful against West Brom. Looked absolutely world class in the first half against Istanbul last night. Then the minute Bruno Fernandes went off at around 55 minutes, they looked awful again. They were flat, sloppy. They even looked as if they might concede more than one goal. And if it went 3-2, there'd have been a real kind of squeaky bum last few minutes. So I just think they're so inconsistent at the moment. The only person you can rely on is Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting if Van de Beek keeps his place, because he played brilliantly last night. We played one of our best 11s that I've seen in a long time, actually, with Telles starting on the left. It was Fred and Van de Beek in the two midfield roles, and then Fernandes, Martial and Rashford and Cavani up front, which is such an attractive front, like 6, 7, 8. So it's going to be interesting to see if Van de Beek keeps his place.
Do you reckon Telles will keep his place as well?
Definitely. He's been brilliant. Telles has been superb. So that's United in a nutshell for me at the moment, is you can only rely on Bruno Fernandes. Telles isn't quite ready for FPL just yet.
Should we do our last little bit, which is isolate transfers? Because this should be our change.org petition, shouldn't it? I'm feeling passionate about this subject.
Yeah, you two are going to be talking about this in the House of Commons at some point, aren't you?
Next over, we're going to pass over to Luke Jardine, who's got FPL. What's this?
Go on, put your point forward. Go on.
So, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I would say that with coronavirus and the current pandemic, FPL free transfers aren't working as well as they should. I think FPL should introduce a feature that if a player gets coronavirus and has to self-isolate, you're allowed to make one emergency free transfer, where you're only allowed to take that player out of your team. You aren't then allowed a free transfer to bring them back in, but you're allowed an emergency free transfer to get them out. So for instance, Rich, once that team news from Crystal Palace was released, well, I suppose with Zaha, it wouldn't have worked because the game week had already started. But yeah, if you've got news early that a player isn't going to play before the start of the game week, like we had with Salah, give everybody an emergency free transfer to get him out, and then you can bring him back in if you want to. But you don't get a free transfer for that. Surely that's fair.
I don't think there's enough players getting coronavirus. Not that I want more players to get coronavirus, but I don't think there's enough getting it to warrant that kind of change to the whole gameplay.
I think it just levels the playing field, though, doesn't it? Like, I think it's so unlucky if it comes up and you've already, I know you should wait to use your free transfers and all that, but we have to deal with injuries and all this stuff anyway. If we're in a pandemic, you know, we've already had Mane, we've had Salah, we've had Zaha, we've had Cody, we've had Pogba. Not that anybody has Pogba in their team, but there's been a lot of players that have either had to self-isolate or have got coronavirus and they're stuck in our teams.
Yeah, but this can't, you know what this sounds like? You know, when Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola come out and go, we need 5 substitutions. This is what it sounds like. It's like the boys at the top want this extra transfer because one of their players might have coronavirus.
Ben.
Yeah, the boys at the bottom want it as well.
I don't know.
I think it makes sense. I think it's a crazy season. I just think, like, luckily I haven't been hit by it yet. But how annoying is that to find out, like, you've made all your... Because you found out about Zaha. When was that? The deadline had passed, hadn't it?
It passed. It was the hour before the match kicked off.
Zaha would be problematic. I mean, unless they did something like, if it happens there, you suddenly get an emergency free transfer, you can change Zaha out for a player who hasn't played yet or something. But I know that wouldn't work.
I mean, look, why don't we just all agree to write FPL off this season? Let's just say this is a mad season. We don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter where you came this season. It's the crazy year.
It only took 9 match days for us to say, let's end the season. Okay, cool. That pretty much brings us to the end of this week's episode. I think we got a lot of things off our chest this week. And Ben, best of luck with staying away from the ciggies.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
And with FPL, of course, which is just as important. If you've got any questions, Mr. Luke Jurdy is the man on Twitter, at TripleCaptain3. Just drop him a question on Twitter and he'll respond. He's tweeting every day about FPL. Reply to that. And we always put our teams on Instagram as well, at TripleCaptain3. And if you can, leave us a review after this podcast as well, because that always helps us move up in the podcast league table, doesn't it?
We had one. Yeah, we had one on Apple. So basically, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I mean, yeah, it's... hang on a sec. This one's from Alexander_88. I've tried a few FBL podcasts, and this is by far my favourite. Oh. A great mixture of laughs, advice, and just some general thoughts on what to do each game week. Great work, chaps. With a thumbs up emoji. So
top
thank you
lad.
Very much. Alexander_88.
And I can say this now with absolute guarantee, even though Ben is the producer and the editor of this podcast, that if you leave us a 5-star review, we will read it out on this podcast.
Yeah, we definitely will.
All right, so best of luck, everybody. Match day 10. Fingers crossed for you.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about 4 blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost 3 pounds this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost 3 pounds this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost 3 pounds this week.
What?
You are joking me.
I am 1 pound down this week.
It's all
well
good,
done, mate.
We've all
full
lost,
progress.
which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
10 pounds in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.